Welcome to the Shadow Hills Podcast. We would love to have you visit us at one of our campuses in Las Vegas or online at shadowhills.org. We pray that God will speak to your heart as you listen to today's message.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Greg Lunsford. I'm the campus pastor at Shadow Hills downtown. And in Brett's absence, they asked me to come and speak this morning to you all. So thank you for having me. It's great because something that's happening right now is that downtown is having their worship service right now. Us in Summerlin are having our worship service, and Shadow Hills North, the Liberate campus, is having worship too. So it's this citywide honoring God at the same exact time. It's pretty cool, isn't it? And so this week, we are in week two of a series we call Margin, Creating Space for What Matters Most. And this week, we're going to be looking at the margin in our lives of time. And so when you look at 2019, you start setting goals, you start setting rhythms, you start having dreams, one of the things that eats up that is time. And it could be a stressful thing for us, right? We start wondering, when am I going to have time to do all of these things? Time can be one of the most stressful things. Often, we look at it as a burden. We ask ourselves some questions. We ask ourselves, when am I going to be able to do that, right? When am I going to have time to do this? How can this work in my schedule? For if you come to me and you ask me to help you move, I'm going to look at where you rank in my life, and I'm going to say, I'm probably not going to do that because I don't know you that well, and I got something going on that day. If Henry asks me to move, I'll help him move. But I don't know you guys. I don't got time for it. No, I'm just kidding. And we also ask, when am I going to get some me time? How many of you have asked yourself this past week that? I know I have. You have kids, you have family, you have work, you have all these responsibilities, and you ask yourself, when am I going to get some me time? And why is that? Because time is precious. Time is precious. And we look at our lives and we see how valuable time is, and we know that it's precious. We have this precious time. One of the very first person we baptized at Shadow Hills downtown was an 89-year-old woman. It was awesome, and she was great. Last year, she fell, and she had to go to the hospital. And then she went to this rehabilitation place to get rehabbed. And I went in the morning to visit her. And we spent about an hour with her, and she was in great spirits. She was laughing. She had life in her. It was awesome. And then later that day, I get a text from her daughter. And she said, Mom went home. And so I call, and I get my pastor voice on, my counseling voice, right? The sympathetic one. I have to check mark those. And I say, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? And she goes, I'm doing great. I was like, this insensitive woman. And then she says this, do you want to talk to Mom? And that's when it clicked. Mom went home. But it made me think, time is precious, right? Our time is precious. And I felt like she had so much more to live. And so you wonder and you experience this, and it's she had valuable time left, and so we're happy that she's still here with us. I haven't called her off yet, but we all have this philosophy of time. When we think of time and we think of it in our lives, no matter where we're at, there's usually one of two ways we look at time. It's, I got all the time in the world to do this. Usually you get the college kids, the dreamers, and they'd start dreaming big about their life, and I got so much time to travel. I could go and serve, I could do missions, I could do all these things with my life, and it's this big picture view and philosophy of time. And another way of looking at time is the time clock situation, where you're literally counting down the time, and you see your time is limited. I experienced this last night as I saw the clock wind down on my Cowboys season. I don't know why you guys are laughing. That's hurtful. There's a clap. Oh, you would. But we have these philosophies of time. Is it ticking down? Is it big picture? Whatever we do, we think of time, and it has this emotional response. And what this does for us, it makes us prioritize our time. And what that simply means is that we start to put things as we feel important in numerical order. Things like family, work, school, different events, sports, church, God, and me. The way that people used to look at our solar system was that the Earth was the center and that everything revolved around it. And then Copernicus comes and he sees it as the sun being the center and everything revolving around it. So for us as believers and followers of Jesus, and at the risk of being a little cheesy, we need to be looking at our lives by putting the sun, by putting Jesus at the center. And then everything else revolves around that. Because I could get into a very me place where I'm looking at things and I need to prioritize them around my life, but really it's Jesus that needs to be in the center. And so what we're going to look at today is some practical ideas about how to view our time and some thoughts on how to apply this in our lives. And first, we want to look at Ecclesiastes 3:11. And that says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. This verse tells me two things. The first is that you and I, we were made for eternity. We were made to live with Jesus forever. We were made to live and to love and experience Jesus forever. And the second thing is that we were given but a speck of time here on earth to share that beauty with the world. That although I got this big picture idea, these dreams, this eternal view of time, I have been placed here. You have been placed here on purpose. You have been created to express the beauty of God to the world. For your speck of time, Jesus has asked you to live it beautifully. To be an expression of his pure and beautiful love to the world, that would break through the darkness and shine Jesus' light. Amen? So we're going to reflect now on the question of where does the time go? And we broke it up into three different rhythms, and the first rhythm that we're going to look at is you time. Where does the time go? You time. And what I mean by this is this self-care time. This time of Sabbath that we are called to participate in. You time is very important, and I want you to hear this. It is not selfish. It is not selfish. Now, can it become an idol? Absolutely. Absolutely. We can look at our lives and say, this is all me. I am at the center, and this is me time. Everything revolves around me. And so there's that tension where we need to wrestle with, I need to take Sabbath. I need to take that Sabbath. I need to take that rest. But I also need to be proactive and have Jesus be the center and not me. God wants you to have you time. You time means that you will have a better relationship with God and that it will even strengthen your faith in God. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 reads, "And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." Sabbath means that we take time to look at all that God has done and know and see that it is good. Amen? Amen. And we worship God for that. We worship God. It leads us to a place of worship. Sabbath is hiking to the peak and overlooking all of God's creation and taking that moment to rest and to take it in and say, it is good. Sabbath is taking that break and saying of refreshment and saying, I can enjoy this because God has made it good. God didn't rest on the seventh day because he was tired. He rested so that he could see over all of his creation and say, it is good. The work is done. Even more so now that we have Jesus, the work is completely done. Amen? And now we are invited to sit and to rest and to look over all of God's creation and know that it is good and that it is finished. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates." Taking a Sabbath means that we know that God has done the work and that he continues to do the work. And that we are now resting and knowing that we are sanctified by Christ because it is finished. You time doesn't mean that we refrain from sharing the gospel. The Pharisees had this very scrutiny look at how you look at the Sabbath, but we are invited to still do the presenting of the gospel to the world, because it is not work. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ is not work, it is worship. Sharing the gospel is not work, it is worship, and it enhances our Sabbath because we are reflecting on the goodness that God has done. We're reflecting on the work that is complete when we share the gospel. Having you time makes you look like Jesus. Mark 1:35, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Taking you time makes you more like Jesus. So what does your Sabbath look like? We get to figure out our Sabbath and our rhythm of finding rest. For me, I am an uber extrovert. I love being around people. So my Sabbath usually falls on a Saturday because Sundays is kind of hard to take a Sabbath for me. And my Sabbath involves, where I find my rest on my Sabbath involves me on my hands and knees wrestling with my 5-year-old son. I find my rest spending time with my wife. I find my rest spending time and laughing with friends. I'm an extrovert. That's where I find my rest. And there's some of you in here who are kind of weird, and you're an introvert, and you like to be alone. And now you're like, oh no, he called me out. And maybe you find your rest sitting in a corner. I don't know how you guys operate. But finding your rest is still important, right? No matter where you're at, extrovert or introvert, you need to take time to find that rest, to find your Sabbath, to find that place where you can look out and know that the work is done and it is beautiful. And so find that rhythm of Sabbath in your week. Where can you take it? How is it going to enrich your soul? And more so, even taking a day a week, have a Sabbath once a day, taking an hour to be with God. Taking that break to pause, to pray, to read the scriptures, to talk to brothers and sisters in Christ about God. That's Sabbath within a day. You time allows you to rest in the work that Jesus has done. And with Jesus, the work is finished. The next rhythm is group time. Group time. And what we mean here at Shadow Hills is that means community groups. That means gathering for worship on a Sunday morning. Group time is important because we were not made to do life alone. We were not made to live isolated lives. When God comes back, he's coming back for his bride, right? And his bride is the collective church throughout the world. It is you and me. It is the Hills downtown. It is Liberate. It is all churches gathered under Christ's name. He is coming back for his bride. Is he coming back for me individually? Yeah. But more so, he is coming back for all of us. We are the collective, his bride. Our faith was never meant to be an isolated story. Our faith, our life, was meant to be connected to millions of other stories that were saved by Jesus Christ and connected to the bigger story of God and his creation and his wonderful, gracious majesty. So group time should be a priority. In Psalm 133, David thought this was so important that he wrote this down. The whole Psalm 133 is about this. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. I want to read that again. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard, of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore in community, life forevermore in unity. Jesus says this in John 17, verses 20 through 23. He says, I do not ask for these only, meaning the disciples around the table, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me. That they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Listen to the words of Jesus. In this section alone, in these three verses, they is mentioned four times. Them is mentioned three times. World is mentioned twice. We were meant to do life with each other. Jesus lived in a group during his ministry. Jesus sent people out in groups. Group time is important. Jesus didn't call us to have a bump in the log faith. And what I mean by that is one bump on one log in the middle of nowhere. You've heard it said, and maybe you've even said it. I don't do church. I go and I experience God down by the river. And then I ask, you're in Las Vegas, what river? I go experience God at Mount Charleston. We can experience God in these things. We can experience them during you time, right? But God has called us to group time. God has called us to be one in Him together. We can't do church alone. We can have you time alone, but that's not church. That's not church. He has called us to live and to serve and to love one another, so much so that the love that we express towards each other, the mercy that we give each other, the forgiveness that we lavish on each other, will make known Jesus to the world. We can't do that alone. And so He's calling us to group time. And Shadow Hills, you don't have an excuse to not have group time. Shadow Hills, there are community groups that meet on campus every Sunday before or after a service. Shadow Hills has community groups that meet in homes during the week. If you can't do a Monday, there's one on a Tuesday, and vice versa. I host a community group for our church downtown that meets on Wednesdays. Y'all aren't invited. I'm kidding. You can come if you want. It's a party. But group time, right? We are called to group time, and we don't have an excuse. And some of you may be stressing out, oh, he's calling me to join a group. Where am I going to find the time, right? Let me break it down. The community groups that meet on campus usually meet for an hour each Sunday. That's 4 hours a month. The community groups that meet at home are around 4 to 6 hours a month. Out of the 8,760 hours in a year that we have, we are asking that you give 48 of those hours to group time. You still have 8,700 more hours to do whatever you want. We're not asking much, right? And we're not doing it to increase like our number, to increase a checkmark box that we got this many people in a small group. We're doing it because when we do life together, we look like Jesus. We are called to be image bearers of God, and God is the Godhead of Father, Son, and Spirit. Perfect community, always loving one another, always serving and glorifying each other. And so it makes sense that we are called to community when God Himself is community. And so we are challenging you to carve out time for that so that us can look like God to the world that needs to know God. Amen? Group time means that we are being transformed by God to image the Trinity for the world to see God's love displayed between followers of Jesus. The last rhythm. We got you time, we got group time. This is serve time. Serve time. When we talk about this, we talk about finding ways to help the church on a Sunday. Finding ways to serve the community outside of church. Helping our neighbor, helping our friends. Volunteering at schools. Serve time is important because it is the outpouring of all that God has done in your life. This is going out and telling the world about Jesus and making disciples. This is where you help the church and you serve the community. Look at what Paul says in Galatians 5, 13 through 14. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." And this is where I struggle. I struggle here because when I have time, I want it to be me. I want it to be me-centric. I want everything to evolve around me. I don't want to serve others during me time. And that's a sin. That's something I need to repent from, because the time that I'm given, the freedom that I'm given, is a gift. And when God gives me a gift, he's asking me to steward it well. So he needs to be the center. And my heart ought to be to serve. And listen to the second half. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your God, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. John 12:26. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. When we serve, we look like Jesus. When we serve, we are closer to God. And what does serving and loving like Jesus look like? It looks like being on his hands and knees, washing the feet of his followers the night before he goes to the cross. It looks like hugging and embracing the sick and the unclean. Loving and serving like Jesus looks like sacrificing even to the point of death. And we are called to serve like Jesus. Serve time means we are loving like Jesus has loved us. So what we have asked you to do today, we have asked you to make Jesus the center of your life. We have asked Jesus be the priority in which everything else revolves around it. Work, family, school, everything. Because everything is going to be honored and put in its specific place when Jesus is at the center. We have asked you to give yourself a Sabbath, to give yourself a day of rest a week, because that shows our faith in God that he is doing the work. Because we get to rest and look out and say, it is good and it is finished. We have asked that you give yourself to a community, that you ought to love and care and serve one another as the Godhead, the Trinity, does. That your love may be an example to the world that Jesus is alive. And that Jesus is real and that he wants them in the community as well. We have asked you to go and to serve the community. To go and to give the gospel and look at it as worship and never work. So these are the rhythms that we have asked you to do. And before you could do any of that, if you haven't accepted the invitation that Jesus has asked you to accept into his life, that's where it starts. It starts by receiving the grace from Jesus that he has given. And if you haven't accepted that, if you haven't accepted the invitation into Jesus' life, we ask that you come forward this morning and do so. We're going to have people down here that want to pray and walk with you and then show you how you could put Jesus at the center. And if you're starting 2019 and you want to get connected to a group, it's time that God has called you to community, you're not connected yet, come down and we'll walk you through what that looks like. And if you're just starting out this year rough and you just need prayer, we want to pray with you. We want to put Jesus back in that center. But it starts with receiving him. Stand with me and pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for putting eternity into our hearts. We thank you for revealing that truth to us through your Son. And Jesus, we thank you for going to the cross and dying for our sins, dying to bring us life. We thank you for the resurrection that conquered sin and death once and for all. And now we get to have life now, we get to have life to the fullest, and we get to have life forever with you. I pray that each and every one of us in here this morning receives that truth and allows that to spur us on to make you the center, to make you the king of our life. Give us a heart to receive and give us a heart to worship. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would like to help support our ministry, you can go to shadowhills.org/give. We greatly appreciate your generosity. Join us again next time, and may God bless you with His best for your life. We hope to see you again soon.